And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. For the next 45 minutes, we're going to be talking about Film Las Cruces and the 10-year anniversary, which is just an amazing thing to me. I vivid memories still of when it was just an idea that was being germinated and passed around by the host, the state senator, who I'm sure will be joining us. He's notoriously a minute or two late every time we invite him, that Senator Steinborn. But for now, we have Andrew Hara, who is the film liaison for Film Las Cruces. So, first of all, thanks so much for joining us. And we were saying you have a very neat title for what is a film liaison? What do you do?
So film liaison, they're also called film commissioners, but Essentially the job of a film office in general is to kind of
it's twofold. It's to try to get productions to come to our city, which in this case Las Cruces, of course, and also once they're here to help them find local crew, local vendors, and so we're liaisoning between us and the production, and especially like we do the permits as well. And so it's just easier because a lot of the permits, like there's not a permit to close down a street. It's a block party permit.
Okay.
And so a block party permit isn't exactly a film permit. There's like, you know, you're usually not going to have fake guns in a block party permit. And so we just kind of help when the productions come in and they say, we're going to need this road closed because we're going to have a car explosion. We find out in the city who else do they need to talk to. Like they, in January, they blew up a car in front of the Doñana County abandoned courthouse.
Right.
And so we had to meet with the fire department, meet with the police department. Everyone had to check off. They had to do a ground survey to make sure where they wanted to blow up the car wasn't in front of any gas lines or anything. And just all that kind of stuff so that even though, you know, blowing up a car doesn't look exactly safe, they try to make it as safe as possible. And so we help them kind of do all that kind of stuff. And then it's also reaching out to production saying, hey, you know, we've heard about your project. We think it could work for this, for Las Cruces. Here's kind of some ways to do it. And then helping them with that, you know.
And go ahead, Daisy.
No, I was just curious if there's been any. You just mentioned blowing up a car. So.
Right.
I'm just wondering about some other films or what, you know, that you've been a liaison on that, you know, would require something like that as well.
You know, one of the things that we tell the city and the county is we never really know. There's always something new, like from blowing up a car, they build tunnels, like underground tunnels in a warehouse and then making sure that's safe. The last, they blew up a Little Toad. They had to replace all the glass because they threw someone through the front of Little Toad for a movie. And so it's always funny. And again, the last movie was very effects heavy. So like they threw someone out of Grounded on the other side. And so it was just kind of making sure, like talking with the owners, making sure it's all safe and doing that kind of stuff. But those are the kind of the biggest ones.
Yeah. Now I'm even more jealous. Yeah. Now your job sounds even more cool.
It can be fun, yeah.
And we have been joined by State Senator Jeff Steinmore. Thanks so much for joining
us. Good morning. Notoriously late was a description. I apologize.
Well, thanks for listening.
Absolutely. Good morning.
So take us back 10 years ago. How did this whole thing get started? And even a little bit before that, because you were there when Bill Richardson kind of had this idea of Georgia and some other states had really made themselves. People were kind of getting tired of Hollywood and looking for other places to film. And
So for me and my involvement started actually about 12 years ago. And people, you know, as someone in office, people had been advocating, like, you guys need to build a studio. I would always hear that. We need to build a soundstage. And, okay, that's a great amorphous, expensive idea, but what does that mean and what do you do with that, you know?
Right.
And it kind of reached a fever pitch when I was up at the legislature and I was on the House Tax Committee for one term, and they brought some legislation to us to increase the tax incentive for the film incentive. And really, what built New Mexico's film industry that Bill Richardson understood was this idea of creating an incentive to actually give filmmakers a rebate back on production,
right,
to give them a better deal for filming here. We give incentives to a lot of industries to come to your town, to come to your state. That's how economic development works. And we created one for film. And New Mexico was one of the first states to do it. And actually started under the last year of the Gary Johnson administration, which was not something he wanted widely known because he was Mr. Libertarian. But it actually started on the last year of his administration.
Richardson certainly took credit.
What happened was he took it to the next level. He made it better. Right. He really championed it. He did other things for the film industry. So several years later, Albuquerque opens a studio. Santa Fe opens a studio. They're going gangbusters. Yes. I'm up there in the tax committee for a bill that they called the Breaking Bad bill because it really increased and tried to incentivize TV series. And I suddenly saw a whole industry I'd never seen here and people who were really affluent and doing well. It just was a gigantic light bulb, like, there is an industry. It is flourishing, just not in our part of the state. I just got it, and I was just instantly turned on, like, we can do this down south.
Even though we were paying just as much in taxes.
Absolutely.
As
absolutely. Yeah, all residents are paying for those film incentives. Yeah. When I got home from Santa Fe that year, I said, okay, I get it, and let's pull everyone together who's ever spoken to me about all those advocates. We have a couple film union people. And we formed a group called the Regional Film Development Advisory Committee, started nagging the city. And 2 years later, they said, why don't we give you the money? You form a film office, not Jeff, but, you know, this group of advocates. You're the ones with the passion, the insight, the talents, experienced film people. So we rolled up our sleeves and we did that. We incorporated Film Las Cruces and we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. I myself don't work in film. I'm a volunteer, but as is our board, although many of them do work in film. And we became the Film Economic Development entity for the city, and then a few years later, the county. And that's where our story began.
And before we get, as I said when we started, we really want to focus more on where we go from here.
But yeah.
Anytime you reach a 10-year anniversary, that's a big deal, and that's worth taking a little bit of time and looking back and thanking and recognizing and honoring the people who are responsible for getting us this far. Going back to the very beginning, who else was, you know, really involved at the ground level on this?
Yeah, you know, well, it's funny. I like to look at origin stories that go back even farther than that, yeah. You know, because often those people are the ones never remembered. So, I mean, I'll go back to Mark Madoff, who was fighting for this vision, a guy named Mike Lawrence, Bill McCamey. We had film liaisons. We actually had a film liaison position in the city. It was a part-time position when we started. This was a part-time position in the Convention Visitors Bureau. Mm-hmm. They're like, turn the lights off at 5 and get out of the office. And this guy's like, yeah. But I'm passionate about film. We don't care. Get out. And it was really kind of a marginalized position. But anyway, but there are people who believed in film and in their own way fought for film before us. But certainly when we started, gosh, I mean, you know, we had some folks who don't live here anymore, Sam and John Muir, who were filmmakers. John was a veteran. Guy named Dan Williams, who's a film union member here. He still teaches the film class at NMSU. I know I'm going to forget a lot of people, so it's a dangerous. We pulled together local county commissioners, city councilors, and what was so cool was in those early days, I recognized that we needed film infrastructure to get the film industry here. So we started raising money, and I thought at the time, you know, this is going to be a little maybe controversial. That, you know, we're trying to get the public sector, the government involved in creating this industry. But nonetheless, I knew it needed to be done. So I went before city council and I was like, here's what we need to do. And, you know, and I was so pleased to see that they supported it. It was bipartisan. I'm going to give a shout out to, even though I'm a Democrat, a Republican city councilor, Seal Levitino. Mm-hmm. She's like, this is awesome. And then the Democrat. And so it was totally bipartisan. And so I just want to thank. It's easy to be in favor of something once it's a success. Sure. But I really appreciate those people who got the vision early on. I'm going to give another shout out to Renee Scott, who was the former president of DACC Studios, who now is vice president at MSU. You know, we formed a studio here. We rented an old Coca-Cola building, a 70,000 square foot building when we had one employee. DACC funded it and moved their film crew training class over there so we could open a studio. And the building had been empty for years, so we worked out a creative deal with the building owner. But, you know, she believed in us, and she put the money down. And DACC continues to be an incredibly strong champion. Now NMSU, you know, I know they had the reservations, but they took ownership of and going to build a $20 million film studio that we got funding from the state. So you talk about moving forward. That is going to be what's going to help take us to the next level because of the kinds of productions we'll be able to recruit there. So anyway, a lot of people along the way who have really shown real leadership. And one guy sitting next to me, you know, Andrew Hutta, who's a filmmaker, who, you know, is one of our talented filmmakers here who have joined League with us, and he's done a great job. And in our film office, we really have one of the best film offices, not only in the state, probably in the country as far as I'm concerned. Another guy, Eli Villalpando, who's also a filmmaker, who's our associate liaison. So give a shout out to these guys.
Andrew, can you talk a little bit about that? How did you get started? Was it, I remember when I was maybe 12 or 13, we had film cameras. And, you know, we would go out and pretend to be cowboys and Indians or goofy stuff like that. Obviously, you've taken it to the next level. But did you start kind of in that same way? Or
a little bit. I mean, I always was a fan of film. And I think with, like, my parents, like, VHS recorders, I try to edit inside the camera, which is very hard. So it was like that. And then I was going to UTEP, but their film program was very small. And it actually got canceled. Like, they were going to do a hands-on, like, making your own short film, and it got canceled because no one signed up. And that's when CMI at NMSU was, they were starting up, I think they were in their second or third year, and my aunt, who was a counselor at EPCC, she said, you should try NMSU because they have an actual film program. And so I literally applied and got in, like, 2 weeks before. And so I went to NMSU as a film student and did all my work there, and I still, some of the crew members that are still working here today are from that NMSU class, so it's nice to see them and see, oh, they're still here, they're still working, and some of them have even come back, which is great. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was just kind of, I worked in the news for a while, and I worked in marketing, just kind of related to, and then once this opened up, I started as an associate film liaison with Jonathan Sepp, who was one of the first ones, and he just kind of taught me everything we knew, and as we were getting busier, you know, you have a little trial by fire, but it was good because you kind of, it lets you know, it's hard to explain what we do, especially when you get into details.
Right.
It's easier to show when it's happening. And so, you know, that was kind of good. And that's, you know, since then we've been just kind of rolling. Yeah.
So I'm curious, I mean, since you went to NMSU and you said you started at UTEP in the film department, how many films have you produced yourself? And I'm sure you have a film in you that you're, you know, that you're working on.
Yeah.
Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I've produced and directed 3 films and 1 documentary. When I was in school, we had made a zombie film that was a little bit longer. And that was kind of my senior project, was to make this film. And then after that, I moved to L.A. for a while, and I had an idea for another film, but shooting in L.A. is expensive, as we tell these productions.
Yes.
And so I came back here, and then we were going to film it, but in the meantime, it had been about 5 years. And so I had a little bit of extra money from the budget, and so we made kind of a short film that we shot. Well, it wasn't a short film, it was a feature, but we shot it in 7 days, all overnights, and so it was a very rushed production. And so we did that one, and then I also met the Stephanie Hahn and Jennifer Hahn. They're boxers from El Paso.
Right.
And I met them before anything really happened. And I was doing I wanted to do a documentary about boxers in El Paso just because I like boxing. But once I met them, and it was a whole family of, like, all of them fight or they do some kind of combat sport. So I turned it into a documentary that was about 45 minutes long. And so that one just kind of came out of nowhere. But yeah, so about 4 films that I've produced. And right now I'm working on another one that we're hoping, it's a concept short, so it's a shorter one, but hopefully it'll be exciting. But yeah,
that's great. Jeff, you talked about, you know, kind of where we started in terms of infrastructure. Where are we now? What do we have that's under construction? What do we have that's, you know, maybe still in the drawing board? And and what do we have that's in use?
Well, we've got a number of spaces around town that get used for, you know, various, you know, assets that get used for filming indoors and offices and things that have been acquired by film companies for use of film production. What we don't have that we really need, that we're going to have this time next year, I believe we're going to be celebrating. We should come back and talk about our new studio.
Yeah.
But what was just broken ground on that's super exciting is a $21 million studio, which will include roughly 20,000 square foot soundstage, what's called a soundstage, which is really the main essential ingredient in a studio. It's a big, empty, and tall, soundproof building.
That you could turn into whatever you need it to be.
And they build those, and you film there to build sets inside them, yes, so that you have controlled lighting, controlled sound, soundproof, and you can go back there and film time and again. So soundstage, and then construction mill where they build sets, offices. And this is going to be built just south of the Burrell College, right off Film Street in Arrowhead Park. Okay. So that's the new film infrastructure that we're going to have here. It's very exciting.
And wasn't there another one going into the old off of Amador?
Yeah, it's that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And, you know, that was an economic development deal with a private company. And, you know, what they have done is they bought several buildings.
Yeah.
Some of those are the spaces I was referring to that some films have been made in. Not a soundstage, which is what we're shooting for. And that was kind of the key ingredient of that deal.
Okay.
But they're called 828. And they still have a presence here. They've hired some staff and they've made a few movies here.
Okay.
Yeah. And, well, thinking about that and also the history, are there any specific films that either one of you can point to where, like, yes, that was, like, I'm sure there's been a whole lot of films that have, you know, gone into production here that we don't know about, but anyone special that you can think of?
Well, a lot of different ones, and I'd love to hear Andrew's answer, but a lot of them, they're special for different reasons. You know, earlier on, when Clint Eastwood decided to film here, I just knew, okay, this is a big deal. This is a really big deal. And so we were obviously really excited for that. And it was pretty funny. I knew where he was filming, but of course that information is very proprietary. So, and it was in the heat of the summer. I was like, oh God, please, Clint, let's get you in and out of Las Cruces. And he was filming on Picacho, actually, at Ruiz Tires, if you ever saw the movie The Mule.
Yeah.
And he's where he's doing, and I drove by, and I couldn't believe it. There's Clint Eastwood sitting on his director's chair 10 feet from Picacho. People are just driving by him, of course, not knowing. They're driving by freaking Clint Eastwood. And that was obviously a huge moment. And then I think the third time I, of course, had to turn around and do that routine again. He gives me like the Dirty Harry stink eye because I think he recognizes my Prius. I'm like, oh shit, Clint Eastwood. But you know, honestly, I'm just as thrilled when we get the independent $500,000 films here because I see our kids and our up and coming film crew working,
right,
and that is why we do this work. And one of them even won an award for the best film at Sundance, a film that was made here in Las Cruces, an independent film. So, you know, we run the gamut, and it's all inspiring to me. But, Andrew, what are your greatest memories?
You know, I think it is that movie. It's called In the Summers, the one Sundance. Yeah. And at the time, there was two movies in town, and it was In the Summers and In Our Blood, which eventually, it was at the time, it was called The Line. But to me, those are so special because, A, they're bigger productions. They were working with producers that kind of came from independent films, but like one of them was they had made like Oscar-winning films and stuff like that. But right, also, it was at a time where we were handling two productions at the same time, and they're both very intensive. And so to know that we were able to do that was like a really good feeling because it also, you know, when we do permits and everything, we're getting help from the city and the county, yes, and, you know, all the municipalities and, of course, even just locals, like having to tell them, and everyone worked coming together to work on not just one but two movies, and being able to get them done and on time was always like, understand, like, that's the job, and that's like everyone's kind of working together to make those things. And
you know, one of the most exciting moments, we went on this run where we had like 10 films here over like 2 months or 2.5 months, and at one time we had Bruce Willis here filming here. Then we had Mel Gibson coming in the week after that. And meanwhile, across town at that same moment, we had the Netflix series retrofitting the Plaza Mesilla to make their film Chupa. And that was crazy. And they employed about 300 people that they brought in. And so it was just, it was so exciting to, like, you know, have all these different projects happening around Las Cruces at the same time. It was just like, it's just very exciting for us. of what this can make happen in our town.
How helpful is it? And I know it's a pain in the rear end a little bit for people trying to get around when you have to block off roads and that kind of thing. So how helpful is the city with that? And, you know, can you talk about what you try to do if you are able to kind of mitigate the inconvenience to, you know, people in that area?
Yeah, and I will say that the city and the county, and even like Hatch and Sunland Park, they're very film friendly, which is a huge plus for us, because if you don't get that, then it's harder to do anything. And especially like the nature of film on that movie, In Our Blood, they were going to film at a house in Mesilla, and they were, you know, a car just needed to drive in. But the day of, the owner, he got cold feet, and he was like, you guys cannot shoot here anymore. So the location manager called me and he said, we need a new location. We found one in Las Cruces, but we have to set up a permit. And we were able to get them a permit by noon that day, just because the city and the county were so willing to help us. And I think another thing we do is we try to help them, because a lot of times with film, they're also trying to be as accommodating. They understand that they're, you know, creating a diversion and some things can't be changed, but some things can. I know that they were shooting downtown last year on a project, and they were going to be done by 5 and just putting away stuff by 6. And then we got a call from the post office saying, oh, hey, our workers are trying to get in, but they can't because everything's still closed off. And so we called the location manager and we said, can you start shutting down or taking apart the places in front of the mailroom first, just so that they can get in? And they're very accommodating. And so a lot of times, again, it's that liaisoning thing where they'll call us. And that's what we want. We want them, because like, there was in Carlitos Ranch, which is about, it's a little bit past the airport. It's maybe about 20 minutes away from town. They were going to do a car crash, and they did a permit and everything, and we sent everything out. But, you know, you don't think that it's way out there. You don't think anyone's going to notice. And as soon as they did the car crash, we got like 3 calls from dispatch, like, that's you guys, right? And it's like, yeah, that is. It's like, okay, because people keep calling and saying there's a wreck on the road. And I was like, how do they even see it, you know?
Right.
But it's that kind of making sure that communication is open, so that when people do call, they can say, no, that's not a chainsaw wielding maniac. That's an
right. Yeah. And that's a lesson we learn from film liaisons that happened before us, is communication is so key. And that's what we will always be on the front foot on with Film Las Cruces, is that if there's going to be a traffic shut down on a street, or if there's going to be, you know, a shootout scene or whatever, that as long as people are educated about it and they know and they're not surprised,
right,
then they work really well around it and the community is really supportive. So communication is really important.
I think for the most part, people think it's fun, and you know, want to be a little tidy part of it, or even see
exactly
it the screen.
Exactly.
I remember there was a film called Wanted Man that was directed by Dolph Lundgren, who played the Russian in Rocky IV.
Yes, I must break you.
Yes. And he needed a place to work out, and he thought the gyms were too busy, so we got him to work out at the police department. And then he got to work out with the police. I mean, they loved it. They got to work out with the Rocky villain.
Yeah.
And He-Man, you know, and they were like, this is awesome. And so it's that kind of cool stuff, you know, where you walk down the street and you're like, oh, and he was super nice. We toured the county and like people were walking out of their offices like just to say hi. And he was willing to take pictures with all of them. And so that kind of stuff is cool when it's like, you don't think that, you know, Drago's going to be walking past your office on a Monday afternoon, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. So then what do you guys have? Can you talk about anything that's y'all are working on right now? Maybe, without giving anything away?
Well, one thing I do want to say is this year, and it's the first year where we've had some kind of production every single month of the year, whether they're pre-production or they're shooting. Hopefully, fingers crossed, because the nature of film is that it can always change, but hopefully that extends up until the end of the year. And, you know, right now there is a production in town. We can't give away any details because it has to be released by the state first. But we do have a production. They're gearing up, ready to go. And one of the cool things is if you follow our social media, you'll always kind of get a sense of what's going on. Because if we're not, we can't say anything, but like right now there's casting calls out for that. I think yesterday they were looking for doubles for the main actors. And so you can kind of see how busy we are just based on how many casting calls and like vehicle calls and stuff are going out.
Yeah, but I think we have 2 or 3 movies that are slated to come here by the end of the year.
So can you tell us
that? In January.
How does the process work? Somebody calls up and says, I'm interested in filming a movie. These are the kind of locations I need. Maybe it's a Western and they need something rustic, you know, whatever it is. Then is site selection the first part of that process, or where does it go from there?
So, yes. And like I said, either we'll reach out or they'll call us. A lot of times it's a mix of both. Or sometimes they'll even find us on our websites and stuff. But once we talk to them, yeah, we try to get a hold of the script so that we can start breaking it down and create what's called a location package for them. Sometimes they will just send us a list of locations. But we always try to get the script just so we can get details, because there's a big difference, you know, a house and then a mansion house. And, like, yes. You know, one time we did a scout and they called it a pawn shop. But they meant a general store.
Okay.
And so we had found a pawn shop, and then we read the script. It was like, okay, I think they mean a general store. So we put a couple of those, and they're like, yeah, that's what we meant. And so once we do that, then we'll try to get them to come out for a scout. And then once they've decided on Las Cruces, we try to help them. Once they get here, we try to help them find local crew, local vendors. One of the things is, like, because they're coming in from – we had one from Finland last year. We've had production from Germany or from L.A., Albuquerque. So we want them to know who's local, who knows how to work with film, who's in the area, you know. And so then once we do that, it's just kind of helping them along and helping them once they find the locations, because we'll do what's called a location package, where we don't find them their exact location, but we just let them know, like, okay, if you want, you know, a road, here's a couple of roads just so you can see what we have. And so you can start making your decisions once you hire a location manager and all that.
And one of the things I from talking to Ross Marks every year during the film festival, one of the things that he was really striving for, trying to stop, was the idea that we have this terrific film school at NMSU, and once everybody graduates, they go to Albuquerque because that's where all the jobs are. So are we at the point now where we have, where A, somebody can make a living who graduates from NMSU, and B, we can fill those positions without having to bring in people from out of the community?
Go for it, Andrew.
Yes. I mean, every year more and more NMSU graduates are staying. We're seeing that they're getting more work. And like I said, it helps that that's one of the great things about having a production here every month is that the longer they can stay here and work, the longer they don't have to, like, go up to Albuquerque or move. But we just have been noticing that a lot more people, and even this week we got a call from someone who's coming down here, who's moving back, and saying, like, I'm surprised at how busy you guys are.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's always a great feeling. But yeah, I think especially once this studio opens, it's just going to create more jobs, the more technical, long-lasting jobs.
Let me just add this, though. This was really one of the inspiring visions of Film Las Cruces, was to keep these, you know, best and brightest creative class here. I remember when we were just starting off, there was a great class of students graduating from NMSU Film School who have now all left. One has a great successful production company in Albuquerque. One's a great actor in London. Another's a great producer, director in LA. And it was just heartbreaking to me. And these were Las Cruces kids that we lost because they had to go. And it was like, we cannot lose them. And a really interesting data point. Somebody is, I want to say 40-50% more likely to move in their 20s and 30s and then basically stay where, and less likely to move after that period in their whole life. So I think it's so crucial that as a town and as a creative community that you hang on to those people when they're in their 20s. You keep them from moving. You have to nurture them, create opportunities, and then they'll be here and they'll be building your town the rest of their life. So it's just a big mission of ours. We provide training to them. We provide internships at Film Las Cruces. I can't tell you how many people have gone on to work in the film industry. We're one of the only film offices in the country that works with the Department of Defense on a program where veterans transitioning into the private sector get to choose a field, and they will help pay part of their salary. And we actually at Film Las Cruces have had veterans come here from all over the country to, and one of them just made a movie here. And so it sometimes pays off in that way, too. So we're all about training and working with K-12 kids and, you know, building that pipeline.
Yeah, we are at the bottom half of the hour, so I need to just break in and let people know you're listening to KTALLP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces. And for the next 15 minutes, we'll be speaking with state senator, but not in that capacity, Jeff Steinborn, who is in his capacity as – head of the board of Film Las Cruces, and film liaison Andrew Hara, who is a filmmaker himself and is involved in helping other filmmakers. And that has to be, has there been any one film that you helped with, and then once you saw it, you really thought, okay, this one is a little bit special or a little bit exciting, more exciting than the others for whatever reason?
Yeah, I think we just did one called In Our Blood, and it was, not only did they bring the premiere here, which was always cool, but the director was a director that I had, he had worked in documentaries. He had made a documentary called The Crash Reel, which was about a ski boarder who was in an accident and got his head hurt. And this was his first narrative film. And one of the cool things about him was that he really wanted to integrate into Las Cruces. He was here for a couple of weeks before. He was meeting with locals just to kind of, he wanted it to, because the film took place in Las Cruces, so he wanted it to feel like he knew what he was saying. And so to see him like working so much with the production, and it was a smaller production, so he was able to hire a lot more locals and put them in higher roles.
Right.
And so just seeing, it really felt like a Las Cruces production through and through. And then to see it kind of finish and go on to festivals and like get into a lot of major festivals and then get released in theaters and everything, it just felt like, yes, this is, because, you know, so many times when we're talking to, and it's happened less and less, but when I first started, people, productions, they didn't even really know what Las Cruces was, or they thought it was like 30 minutes outside of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And so it's funny now that like we talked to a major studio the other day, and we were like, hey, you know, we gave our opening spiel about Las Cruces and everything, and they said to us like, oh, we know about you guys. We've been kind of tracking you for a little bit. And so now they're coming to us a lot more. And so that's just, you know, example of the hard work of the crew and the board of Film Las Cruces, is that it's getting out there more and more.
Yeah. Well, and then again, going back to this idea of 10 years, do you guys have any special plans for a 10-year celebration or?
Well, we just had one. Yeah. We just had one on Thursday. And so we had a, I'm sorry, Daisy, you didn't know about
it.
I wish I could bring you back into a time machine. Yeah. I think that's what triggered this interview possibly.
We
had an amazing event. We probably had close to, I feel so bad, Daisy. We'll give you a personal VIP tour of the DACC studio.
I've been occupied with other things.
You let us know when you're ready. Okay. Set you up with your own tour. You and Walt, you can do a show from their studio, which would be amazing.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So this was something proud that we helped work with DACC to launch years ago. But it's it's about a $10 million facility at DACC that also has a soundstage, a mini 4,000 square foot soundstage. But we had our 10-year party there. It was a free public event. We had a lot of great sponsors from around the community that helped pitch in to help pay for it. We had speakers. We really recognized some of the people that I mentioned, some others. You know, John Separle is on, Mark Vasconcelos. Yeah, you know, people I forgot to mention earlier. I'm like, Counselor Gilsor from Counselor Gilsor. But we did that, had a good time, and also showed the community some great film assets. We had film sets that were under construction there, and they really got to see what the film industry was about, as well as learn more about our history. So we did that, and, you know, just like you said, Walt, I just, when we got to that 10-year anniversary, it's just like, you know, we do need to celebrate this. And yes, it is a milestone. We do need to celebrate it. And it's also a little bit recentering on who we are, why we exist, I think, as an organization, and then where we're going. And the thing that you had kind of alluded to earlier is the competition. You know, where are we going? Because it is a global marketplace. Film is a very competitive global industry. There's a lot happening overseas where some films are going overseas, and other states are creating incentives and they're changing. And so and of course, technology with AI. So it's a big conversation just intellectually about how do we stay competitive? What are the jobs of the future? How do we continue to be a place where they come? Because they could always not come. And so, you know, that's what we have to recognize. Our success isn't coming in a vacuum. It's becoming because of very deliberate strategies.
This is a tough question, and you may not have any answer, but did the accident on the Rust film set filmmaking in New Mexico back at all? Because there was at least this perception that it was this anything goes And I don't know if that's fair or true, but when you watch the national news, that was the message you got. And, you know, I just wonder if that gave us, if it was just an accident, and accidents happen. And,
So number one, it was a breach of protocol of well-established standards of how the industry operates.
Yeah.
There never should have been a live bullet taken onto that set. The person who was frankly responsible for that part of it ended up in jail. She was the armorer. You know, they were practicing going off and shooting, and somehow those rounds made their way onto the set. I mean, just 101 kind of stuff. And then probably some of the other people involved, you know, in terms of filming protocol, shouldn't have done what they did that ultimately allowed that bullet, you know, that gun to be aimed at that, unfortunately, that cinematographer. But yeah, it was an accident. Now, what was really interesting about it, though, was the very next movie in New Mexico was going to be made in Las Cruces. The following week was the one I was telling you about with Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. And what was so interesting was that movie involved all kinds of guns. He was literally going to be on the top of Century Bank with a Gatlin gun, for God's sakes, and then every other kind of gun. And we're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. How do we respond from a safety perspective to this? Because last thing we would ever want here is someone to get hurt. That is our number one thing, right, Andrew, is keeping people safe. So kudos to our old film liaison, John Sepp, John Foley, back in the day. He was proactive. He called the film. He called the armor. He wanted to hear what their safety plan was. He then got the police together with them. So we actually became very proactive and dealt with this safety issue, even though normally that's all handled by industry standards. We got involved as a film office to make sure that we were comfortable now and that we felt like we had our own responsibility in making sure that we're kind of looking over the shoulder of the production in a way at that moment. And then we had Mel Gibson here right after that, also using, you know, kind of a crime thing. But what we saw happen with the film industry was they overnight ditched the guns and they used guns, but they switched to fake guns. And rather than dummy rounds, they CGI'd, they digitally created the muzzle blast. So they made a decision overnight, here's how we need to deal with this situation. And they ditched the technology
that's
they were using.
It
really
is. That.
Yeah, yeah, that was a really inside baseball story. But we were the very next film made in New Mexico the following week after that happened. And no, the industry really did. That was historically maybe the busiest moment like we've ever had. Like I said, we went on this run of like all these films over 6 weeks. It was crazy. But I think it didn't really slow down. I don't know, maybe a little bit, the film industry in New Mexico, but not much. It certainly was a black eye, sadly.
And I think there was also a little bit of perception, because if you were in film, you understood like all the broken protocol, like Jeff was saying. But if you're general public, it's that still the disconnect between what's normal on a film and what's normal on in real life. And, you know, and I think so there was a lot of people who were kind of making guesses based on real life instead of on what's on set. But I think, we didn't really see any kind of, we saw a lot more, of the safety protocols and like just making sure that the armor was meeting with the authorities just so that they had points of contact and everything like that. But we didn't really see too much actual slowdown other than just switching to airsoft guns or fake guns.
Yeah, obviously when you're blowing up cars and doing all of these other things, safety has to be a precaution. And I'm sure that you're working with, you know, I would assume the fire department or whoever you need to work to.
Yes, yeah. And it's like I said, you never really know what a production's going to need. I think they were working even on a building downtown, and then they realized that there was asbestos. And so they had to hire someone to get rid of it so they could film down there. But we do try to make, or even the productions, they want to make it as safe as possible. And they want to make sure they get those checks from everyone. Because again, you know, if you're filming a car blowing up and then the fire department shows up and turns it off, that's going to be a pretty big problem. And so, yeah, it is just meeting. We call what's called a roundhouse, where we'll get all the authorities. And sometimes, like, even if it's in the city, we'll let the county know, just so, again, if a sheriff's driving by and sees a huge flame, they're not, like, freaking out.
Right, right.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite stories was I get a call one morning, 7 a.m. by our old city manager, Ifo Peely.
Yeah.
And he's like, Jeff, the film producer called me and he wants to fly a helicopter down Picacho Avenue. And he goes, I want to be film friendly, but is this asking too much, Jeff? And I was like, yeah, you know, that is a good question. That is a good, that is asking a lot, you know? And so, but I love that we had trained the city that you got to be film friendly. You always start, we have an expression that you start from a position of yes, unless there's a reason to say no.
Right.
Because storytelling involves anything from a zombie apocalypse downtown to story of a guy running a shoe store. And you got to say yes and make it happen because they could go anywhere. And they will be on the phone calling the next person five minutes later.
Sure.
So anyway, so he was like, I'm all about yes, but this seems a little unreasonable. And sure enough, they ended up flying over to Shiro instead. It's like, let's pick a slightly less populated street.
Yeah.
But I'd love
that.
So
they still got their shot.
They still got their shot. It just wasn't over Picacho. And I don't think it hurt the movie. So.
Yeah. Well, and just again, thinking about making films here, right? And I'm just thinking about our climate, and you talked about the summer. It's like incredibly hot, but it obviously doesn't snow here, right? And it's not tropical. There's not big trees and everything like that. So, what in terms of scenery and places around town? What's a highlight for folks to want to come and make films here?
So I think the cool thing about Las Cruces is that we have such diverse locations there. You know, there's been even ones where most of it takes place in the desert, but at the end they want to show that she's left and she's in the like forest. And we've been able to do all of that, like just down here somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, you know, there is a lot of requests for the river and for the, the kind of adobe style houses, but we really get a lot. We've had everything from wanting China fields or fields in China to Africa to, Las Vegas we've had. So it really is just trying to find all those places. And the cool thing about Las Cruces is there's not that many things that we don't have here that we can't offer to film productions. And that's another reason it's so great that we have such a film-friendly city, because again, there's not a lot of times where we go talk to someone and they don't want to be involved. They're still very excited about it. And so there's just such kind of like a buffet of different locations that they can choose from, mm-hmm. which is great.
We're down to our last couple of minutes. Once again, we've been talking with Jeff Steinborn and Andrew Hara, the film liaison. What about the 10-year anniversary of Film Las Cruces, what haven't we asked you about, or looking ahead, what can you tell people to look for?
Yeah, I always like to encourage people, no matter who you are and what your interest is in the film industry, if you want to work on it, if you want to have your house maybe filmed at, if you're a business that wants to service it, we've got an amazing website and social media site. Our website is filmlascruces.com. We have our social media, on Facebook and Instagram. Follow us there for casting calls. That's really where you want to go to follow all the casting calls. You can sometimes be an extra in a movie. You can even have a speaking role sometimes in a non-union film. And, as a first-time actor in an audition, right. You may see a role looking for someone just like you or someone you know. And so that's a main way that we get out, disseminate a lot of information. But also you can upload locations. If you're an actor, if you want to be a crew or you have a little bit of experience, you can upload and should upload your name and contact information into our crew database. So, and also invite folks to reach out to Andrew and Eli at the film office and stop by and just say hello and introduce yourself. It's a business that if you want to work in film, you need to really hustle and network. Mm-hmm. Also, finally, we have a monthly thing called The Wrap, a filmmakers forum where you can see local films and meet up and coming filmmakers. It's a great way to network as well. It happens at the Rio Grande Theater
every month. Next month, November 17th.
Okay.
So, which you can also see The Wrap online on our Facebook page. But that's a cool way to engage the filmmaking community as well.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming by and sharing this big anniversary with us. And we are looking forward to the next 10 years and all that they will bring.